Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Trying to make the devil mad. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah, Merry Christmas, and wow, what a nice time, and I want to thank all the people involved in the choir, the musicians, and Amy for putting together a nice little program here. And for a small church, I think that's pretty good. Amen? Amen. And I appreciate it because everything you're doing it for the Lord. Amen? Amen. I want people to always remember that. Anything you do, you're doing it for the Lord. That's why we give Him our best, don't we? And this was just great. And what I liked about it too, in a smaller church like this, I saw people all the way from our small children to the teenagers, all the way up to the adults in different ages. So we were all mixed together, and guess what? We all got along. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I did want to say that if they're watching today, and there are many watching on social media, welcome very much here, and we appreciate the visitors that are here today also. But I don't know if anybody remembers Lowell and Joanne Jaeger. They were here. Remember, he played the guitar, picking and grinning. And anyway, they were watching, and they wanted to tell everybody here hi and Merry Christmas to each person. And then they kind of bragged about it was 82 degrees in Florida. And I feel sorry for them because they have to be careful not to get sunburnt. And they can't walk on the water like we can here. And we have no mosquitoes and no bugs. They got alligators and snakes and things like that they got to be careful of. And so we feel bad for you, Lowell and Joanne, but we're still happy that you're part of the family of God here. And Mel and Linda, I believe they're watching maybe too, but for those snowbirds, we appreciate your support and your love. Isn't it great that we got the body of Christ extended out wherever they may go? That's what's exciting about serving the Lord. So anyway, before I get started, if you can, just one more time, just stand up, please. And we just want to raise our hands to heaven. And we want to just say, Lord, we remember you. Say it out loud. Let the devil know you remember Jesus. This season, Lord, is about you for what you did. And we just want to tell you we love you and we praise you, Father. We glorify you, Heavenly Father. And we ask that your anointing be upon everyone listening and watching today, Father, that your word will touch their hearts and lives and it will change them and give them a hope and a future. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Now you look at somebody before you sit down and say, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can't wear that out. You can't wear it out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we kind of got the, which I think is a good theme for this time of the year, is joy. And my message today is joy to a troubled world. Joy to a troubled world. How many in here need joy in your life? We all do, don't we? We need joy. If you don't think you do, you will at one time. You wish you had joy. But what a great time to speak on it. And my text this morning, Luke chapter 2, verse 10 says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. To all the people. But that great joy was the truth that God, who had seemed far off, had now come to be with us in human flesh. He's here today, even in spirit right now. Jesus is here. We can't see him, but he's here. His Holy Spirit is here, and he sees all of us. He hears all of us, and he sees our hearts even while we sit here today. But isn't that awesome that we have a living God?
Yes.
Hallelujah. His name, as the song even said today, he's called Emmanuel, which means God with us. He is with us. He's never left us. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And that's the type of God. And you can trust him.
Amen.
You can trust him. There's a missionary that had arrived in a small Chinese town. After she arrived, she soon noticed that a gang of bandits had just destroyed the little town and everything in it. Then a native Christian showed the missionary the ruins of his home, a burnt roof and structure, furniture all turned to ashes. Then what appeared to be the last straw, the native Christian pointed to his hymn book in the Bible, and he said, "They even burned my Bible and my hymn book." And from the ruins, the native picked a single page of his Chinese hymn book, the only thing to escape the flames, that one page. The missionary took up the piece of paper, and it read, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." Now that's the Holy Spirit that moves in people's lives, even in trouble. What appeared mockery, a note of joy in the midst of total destruction. But the missionary went on to say that if you could have gone to the little chapel and seen the light on the faces of those native Christians that evening, those who had lost nearly everything were speaking of the home that Jesus has prepared for those who love him. Yes, the missionary claimed there is joy to the world, but only because the Lord has come. Glory to God. And I was thinking even about in the day that we're living right now in Nigeria, our brothers and sisters in Christ that are being tortured and martyred there right now. I saw a picture of a church building and coming together and praising God. Even in the midst of all that heartache and headache right now, God has placed joy within those Christians right there, and they're praising and glorifying him, even in the midst of their trials. What a testimony, amen. Glory to God. So my prayer today, that when we're finished here, and I won't take more than 3 hours, but when we're finished here, that you'll have joy. If you don't, that you'll have joy. Not because of me, but because of the word of God that I'm going to bring. I bring a lot of scripture to my messages because that's what changes lives, not my add-in. It's the word of God. And that's vitally important, I believe. But the natives of that small Chinese town, type of joy that I want to discuss today, I think is vitally important in the world that we live in today. The world we live in, as you know, is deeply troubled right now, plagued with wars, rumors of wars, all kinds of things going on, economic hardships, sickness, fear, discouragement, spiritual deception, confusion in our world we live today. Many hearts are burdened. Many hearts are struggling. Yet, into such a dark and chaotic world, God introduced Christmas as his divine intervention. The birth of Jesus Christ did not occur in a peaceful palace, but a troubled environment when he was born. And this clearly shows that God does not wait for perfect conditions. He does not wait for perfect conditions to release joy in the hearts of his people. Christmas proves that joy is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ. Amen. That's what it proves. And joy breaks the spirit of depression. Yes. Has anybody in there been depressed? If you're human, you've probably been, or if you haven't, you're going to be. But joy will break that. Isaiah 61:3 says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees." And that word trees there is talking like an oak tree, a strong, solid tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So if you're walking in depression today, oppression, begin to praise him. Even if you don't feel like it, allow the Holy Spirit to rise up within your spirit, the joy of the Lord, and you'll find out. And you'll even question, say, "Lord, I don't know why, but I've been depressed, but I have a joy inside of me." It may be in there hiding, but it is in there. And God will bring it forth when you give him the praise. The worst thing we can do is we crawl within ourselves. When we get depressed or we have troubles, we should be looking to God and praising him and glorifying him, that our joy may be fulfilled and it'll rise up within us. Where Christ is received, heaviness and darkness gives way to praise and gladness, which brings hope. And we need hope too. Luke chapter 2, verse 20. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." They were praising God, Glory to God. When he has done and is doing and will do in our lives also, we'll be praising him. Because people are not, you watching, God's at work. Even if you don't think he's at work in your life, he's at work in your life also. Even when it seems like nothing's happening, nothing's changing, it really is. God is making preparation for your victory in your life. To bring joy about. No matter how difficult this world is getting, God is going to bring joy, because guess what? As bad as things look right now, great things are happening in this world also. God is moving upon people's hearts and nations right now. Multitudes are coming to Christ that we aren't even aware of around the world. Things are happening. People are being raised from the dead. We may not see it in the church here today. We're naturally healed. There's people delivered from narcotics, from pornography, from smoking, from all kinds of terrible habits, from gambling, all kinds of things. God is working every day within people's lives. And we should be doing like they did, praising God for the work we see him doing. I don't know about you, but I'm one of the people that God saved. How about you? That means he was working. I didn't think he was working back there when I gave my life to him, but he was working. I didn't know what was happening, but all of a sudden I fell in love with Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. He's working. The Lord is always on the move. Luke chapter 19, 37. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to cry.
Rejoice!
Rejoice. You know that word rejoice, when you look at it, means they were cheering. They were cheering. Hallelujah. And praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that he's working. And we need to begin to praise him. It'll change your attitude. It can even change your circumstance. Did you know that if we walk around depressed in our health, our mental, our emotional, people that are wondering what's going to happen, all we need to do is look to the Savior and begin to praise him, realizing he conquered this world. He's in charge. He's working. Christmas also introduces joy that survives trouble. Trouble is inevitable. Amen. We're all going to experience trouble somewhere along the line. We need to be prepared. John chapter 16, 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. He gives a peace that passes all understanding, does he not? My wife, when her brother died, she was very close to him, kind of helped raise you somewhat, I think, too. And she didn't know how she's going to handle that when he died. But he died, making a long story short here. He died, and when he died, she almost felt guilty because she had a peace. She told me, I don't understand it. I'm grieving for him, but in the middle, I have a peace inside of me. And that's how the Lord is working in us when we look to him and we trust him in all our troubles and our trials. Jesus acknowledged trouble as part of life, yet he commanded us to be of good cheer, be of good courage, be of good comfort. That's what he wants us to be. Joy is rooted in Christ regardless of the circumstance. Chapter 15, 11. These things I have spoken on you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Whose joy is in you?
Jesus.
When you come to Jesus Christ, you're a born again, blood bought, Holy Ghost, devil chasing, pew jumping Christian. You have the joy of God within you. The joy is in you. Hallelujah. That's why you can shout. That's why sometimes I shout. And somebody says, I wish he'd quit shouting. I don't like shouting. Then you aren't going to like heaven. Yeah. There's going to be a whole lot of shouting going on. Hallelujah. The joy is a gift from the Holy Spirit and not dependent on external factors around us. It's within us, allowing believers to experience lasting joy, even during your difficult times. There's a joy that is in there. It's there. And you need to call upon the Lord and let him release that joy through you when you're going through troubled times. Watch him change things in your life. We need that joy. Christians have something far better than fun and entertainment. You know something I found out? Did you know that the word fun is never mentioned in the Bible? It's never mentioned, neither vitality. But fun and entertainment. Many churches are advertising, come to our church, you'll have fun. I don't want fun, I want joy. Fun is temporal. Entertainment's temporal, but joy is in me because Christ put it in me, and I can call upon that joy when I'm going through extreme hard times, when I'm feeling low, when I'm feeling depressed or whatever. I can say, Lord, your joy is in me. Let it come forth. And he begins to work in you. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But we have something better than fun and entertainment. We have Christ Jesus. We have heavenly joy that comes from heaven. Jeremiah 15:16 says, thy words were, I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. How many brought your Bibles today? I like Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. Thy words, what is this? His words. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. But I like what he goes. It's so important. I want to read it again if you've never read that. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing. Rejoicing is within his words, and he is the word. And Jeremiah confirmed it right there. That is why God's word is necessary for food. It's necessary. Job chapter 23:12 says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That was more important than food to Job, was the word of God. God's words, because it brought life to him. It sustained him through the difficult times. And we all read the story of Job. We see and hear his cries in there. But through it all, he kept the words of God, and the joy of God was with him throughout. And he was victorious. God's word is our spiritual substance. We need it.
Amen.
And there's too many people that are not taking care of their spiritual self by eating the word of God, spiritually speaking. We need to eat the word of God, just like Jeremiah said. Joy brings inner peace amid chaos. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's why we need to draw close to the Lord through his word. When Christ reigns within, peace guards the heart despite the external face. Joy strengthens the believer. It strengthens the believer. Nehemiah 10. I've read that one many times here, but I love it. I'm going to read it again. Then he said unto them, and by the way, this is Ezra reading the law to them. And they even began to weep, the scripture says, when he began to speak to the law, because it brought conviction and things into their hearts and lives. And as Ezra was reading it, the people began to weep. And he said, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. He encouraged them that the joy, even though they're failing in areas and they're coming to him and repents, he let them know that joy is going to get them through. That's the true strength. When you have joy, that's why the devil robs joy from many of God's people, because he knows when we are in joy, we've got strength to believe. That doesn't mean we're standing on a housetop shouting and saying, hallelujah, praise God, glory to God. That isn't what it means when you have the joy of the Lord for your strength. It's an inner peace. It's a joy that's within you that gives you the help that when you are going through those trials, that joy begins to rise up. And that's the strength that God gives you to take you to the next level of your life. Hallelujah. I don't know, but I'm getting excited. I didn't put today, so if I fly off the floor, you'll understand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas, remember that? I mentioned that not long ago, sang in prison. You remember them singing in prison? They're in shackles, probably in an old dungeon. Guy sitting down there. Why are we in here, God? some way deliverance. Uh-uh. I didn't read that. I read what it said. I'm going to read it to you. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Prayed. And sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. That's what they were doing. In the difficult time of their life, they had been beaten in a dark dungeon with crawly bugs maybe all over. Who knows? But they sat there and they praised God. They focused upon Jesus Christ, their Lord and their Savior, and joy began to swell up within them. And as they did, deliverance came to not only them, but the guards. That's what joy will do. Start singing. That's why when you come into church and our worship team and our choir is encouraging us and leading us in worship, we should follow that. We should be doing it. If you're not, do it, because you'll find out you'll have more victory in your life. To do it, even when you don't feel like, just say, I want to do it because I love you. And watch what God does. We'll have joy swelling up, coming forth in our life. And pretty soon you'll forget about your difficulty and you'll just want to praise God. You want to talk about Jesus instead of give an organ recital. Amen? Because he's so good. Christmas restores lost joy to the brokenhearted. Many have lost joy through loss, through disappointment, sin, and prolonged afflictions. Dr. Michael McIntosh, in his book called The Tender Touch of God, he puts it like this. The joy of the Lord was at the twist, overshadowing the sadness and disappointment of the dead man's sister. Joy was there when the leper returned to thank Jesus. Joy was there when a woman caught in the act of adultery was forgiven and released from her sins. Joy is there when the deaf heard, the blind saw, and the lame walked. There was joy. Joy was there when the little children flocked to Jesus. Joy was there when the boy gave Jesus his lunch so that he could work a miracle and feed the thousands. Joy was there when dawn broke and the woman knew that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. What to be joyful for if we start to focus on our Lord and Savior. Everywhere Jesus went was joy. There was joy, and is still here today giving hope unto a fallen world. He's here today giving joy. He's got plans for us and a purpose for all eternity. But he wants us to walk in joy. We're to express the joy of the Lord and experience his joy when we worship, when we praise, we're praying, and in song, in witnessing, in helping others, fellowship and disciple. You know, if you're going to witness, have joy of the Lord, I hope, with you. You don't share, don't be a witness if you're angry. Get saved or you go to hell. That isn't witnessing. Have the joy of the Lord. You walk up to somebody. Rick, I got to tell you about somebody that I changed my life. And Rick says to me, go ahead. Do you want me to? Do you want me to tell you? There, now I can do it because he gave me the rights to do it. Jesus Christ came into my life and he changed me. He forgave me of all my sins when I said to him, Lord, forgive me. And I'm so excited because the burden was taken off of me and he changed my life and I'll never be the same. And that will impact Rick more than anything else than if I'm downtrodden and saying, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm born again. You got to do it with joy. And you don't have to shout. You can do it with just your mannerism and your attitude when you share, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy. Galatians, did you know in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit? The second one mentioned in there is joy. So that's one of the attributes that God is working on you and I to come out of us, is joy. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Joy. We should be joyful people. We have the greatest thing in the world. We have an eternal future living in a heavenly place with a loving God where He's going to be with us for eternity. What's the world got to look forward to? They can sing joy to the world in music, but when they leave the stage, they're depressed and they get into their drugging hell. But the Christian, when we're done singing, we knew what we sung about is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Christmas is God's invitation for restoration. God heals broken hearts. He heals them. Psalms 147:3 says, He healeth the broken heart in heart and bindeth up their wounds. People that are crushed in their spirits, their hurt, their pain, He heals you. He does. When you go to Him, He'll heal you. Christ came to heal wounds that time and effort cannot do. They say time heals all wounds, not in many cases. The other day, that wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He was a full-grown man. And he couldn't get it. He couldn't get the Holy Spirit. He wanted the Holy Spirit to speak in other tongues, God's heavenly language, and he couldn't do it. And so the Lord spoke to the preacher and said, ask him about when he was 7 years old. So the guy went, he said, God told me to ask you about when you were 7 years old. The man began to weep and to cry right in front of him. He said, at 7 years old, my dad physically and verbally abused me. And it hung with him all his life. And that's how things affect us. It isn't time. God is the one that heals. God brings healing to us. Jesus experienced in greater degree than you and I ever will. Those that follow Jesus, it's a common experience in lesser degree of suffering. But everything that happens, God leads us to His glory. Every difficult time in our life. And brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ understands everything you're going through. Everything. Yeah. Everything. Joy comes through salvation. Isaiah 12:3 says, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Something saved, it means, it brings deliverance, it brings victory, it brings health, it brings help. You know that Hebrew word wells, or I looked up, is translated fountains, denoting flowing spring of water that never runs dry. Never runs dry. True joy flows from redemption and reconciliation with God. That's why I'm saying if you're in here and you're born again and you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, you're living for Jesus, you should have a joy that the world doesn't understand. But many times we take it for granted and we forget about our salvation and realize this world is not our end. We're only heading for our eternal home. And there will be joy, believe me, joy unspeakable. It's joy is renewed by the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's got it all laid out. You can argue all day long with me and say, hey, you can't talk about joy to me. You don't know what I've been through. Jesus does. For the joy of it, he went to the cross. Because he's looking forward to remembering that, or knowing the time when we'll all be with him, those that received him. And he's excited about it. He's full of joy. And through all the pain in the middle of his crucifixion while he hung on the cross. And we can have the same joy. The Spirit of God refreshes joy continually within the believer. And you can read that in John 7:38. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. As you give it out, it comes back in, fresh. New joy, fresh. God, the Holy Ghost, is refilling you as you give it out, and it brings joy. See, we got to put some action into our salvation. Not to get to heaven, but to let people know that we are truly saved, and that God literally did a work in our life. Glory to God. Zacchaeus, how many remember Zacchaeus? The tax collector guy? his life, he was instantly changed, if you remember the story. Remember, he's up in a tree? Who's coming down the road? He wanted to see Jesus. There was a crowd there. He had to get up in that tree, and he got up there, and he was looking for Jesus. Some of us need to get up in a tree and look for Jesus. We do. We forgot that he's Lord. And he's our Savior. Luke chapter 19, 6 and 9 says, "And he made haste and received him angrily."
Joyfully.
Thank you for paying attention. He received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured. Oh, God does not like murmuring, complaining. If you're a murmurer and a complainer, you better repent of it. God does not like it. Remember Moses? He wanted to tear the hair out of his head. He said, "Lord, I'm sick of their complaining and their murmuring." They all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said, "The half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." Repentance was in the heart of Zacchaeus. But he had joy. Everywhere Jesus goes, joy comes. Hallelujah. Christmas releases everlasting joy to the world. The joy of Christmas is not temporary excitement. It's an eternal joy rooted in God's redemptive plan. It's in the Word of God. It's part of who we are. Because it's in us. Jesus is the source. If you need joy, cry out to him. He's everlasting joy. He rules. Joy multiplies beyond measure. Joy is a kingdom of inheritance. It says in Romans 15, 13. "Now the God of hope fill you with all
joy." Joy.
One more time.
Joy.
Oh, I don't need a hearing aid now. Joy. God fills us with joy in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Man, I tell you, when you eat that up, that's some good food. If you're having trials in your life, read the Word of God, because it's living. It'll become the life when you receive it and believe it. Say, "Lord, I'm going to live what you said." And then it comes to life. Believers are filled with hope and joy through faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we get it. It's through the Holy Spirit. Joy overcomes darkness, by the way, in our life too. John 1, 4 through 5. "In him was life. And the life was the light of man, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended not." World don't understand it. Doesn't understand it. But that's, Jesus is the light of the world. Darkness cannot extinguish joy that Christ brings into a Christian's life. Born again. 71, 2, I can't remember exactly. 2 was 72. I've never wanted not be born again. Because it brought something into my life that the world could never do. Even though through all the trials that we've walked through life, they're still there, that I love the Lord with my whole heart, my whole life, my very being, because the joy is within me that he chose me and saved me, and he put a joy in me that keeps me going forward. That doesn't mean I walk around all day with a big grin. That isn't what I'm talking about. But I walk around knowing that I belong to the Savior. And he keeps that joy in my heart. Joy will be complete in 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Amen. Total joy in heaven. Think about it. Think about it. It's almost hard to imagine, isn't it? No more pain, suffering, loneliness, rejection, nothing. It's all joy, because God wiped it all away. Our tears, our sorrows will in that day be turned into tears of joy. That's what it's going to be like. I don't know about you, but that's going to be an incredible, exciting day. Yes. Glory to God. And you won't be sitting there. You'll be shouting joy. Glory to God. Here's a biblical example, Isaiah 25, 8 through 9. He will swallow up death in victory.
Amen.
And the Lord God will wipe away the tears from off all faces. How many faces?
All.
No crybabies up there.
No.
And the rebukes of his people shall he take away from off the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And that's what he's been doing ever since. He's still doing it today, saving people. Psalms 35, 9 says, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Glory to God. There was once a young boy. I'm getting close to the going here. The roast will last. There was once a young boy who went to spend the week with his grandfather on the farm. While walking around, he noticed the chickens. They were scratching and playing around. The little boy said, they ain't got it. Next, he saw a colt in the field playing and kicking up its heels. He ain't got it. After examining all the animals on his grandfather's farm and seeing that none of them had it, this boy finally found the old donkey in the barn. When he saw the donkey's long, frowning face and the way that the donkey just stood there, he yelled for his grandfather to come quickly. I found it! I found it! The boy kept yelling. When his grandfather asked what he had found, he said, Papa, I found an animal that has the same kind of religion as you. Is that the kind of Christianity we have?
No.
It shouldn't be. Even in our hardest times, we should still have a joy in the midst of the tears and the heartache. We should still have a joy within that says, even though I'm struggling so hard in my life, I love my Savior. I have a joy there because he knows that I'm going through it. He's doing something in me right now to work it out. It might be a health problem. It might be a financial problem. It might be a relational. It might be anything. But right now, God, I'm suffering in this thing, and God knows through my suffering because he knows what it's like. He's working out joy in me, peace, long-suffering, fruit of the Spirit through these things that are happening. And that's what we're going through until we get to heaven. We're becoming more like Jesus. How many in here want to be like Jesus? I do. Hallelujah. The alternative isn't very good. Hollywood's finding that out. So I'll just stop it there because there's multitudes of scriptures on joy. But I'm going to say in conclusion to give you some hope. Because Amy said that Dad's going to give a short word. And I thought, what kind of a word would that be? But it was such a great shout word, or a short word, that I had to preach on it. So it isn't my fault. Because it's about joy. Christmas is proof that God steps into troubled situations and rewrites destinies. That's how he does it. What began in a manger ended on the cross and exploded into resurrection power. The same Jesus is still turning sorrow into joy, shame into glory, and trials into testimonies. Just as the world receives joy through Christ's birth, your life is about to testify that Jesus still brings joy to a troubled world. And I know he will. I'm believing that. Here's some prayer points as I close this off. Father, praying toward you and those watching. Father, let the joy of Christ be restored in every troubled area of our lives. Lord, replace our sorrows with everlasting joy through Jesus Christ. Every source of heaviness in our hearts be lifted up by divine joy. Father, let the joy of salvation overflow into our lives afresh. Lord, turn our present troubles into testimonies of joy. Let the joy of the Holy Ghost strengthen us daily. Every joy killer assigned against our lives.
Yes.
Father, let our households experience Christmas joy beyond measure. We receive grace to rejoice even in challenging times. Lord, let our lives radiate joy that draws others to Christ. Even although our earthly life may be filled with troubles, we have reasons to hope. Because Jesus came to the first time and he's poised to come a second time. We can sing with conviction, joy to the world. Joy to the world. Let's all stand, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, anyone that walked in here this morning, you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to compel you. I want to encourage you to know the Savior. He's incredible. That's an earthly word. I don't know any greater word myself. Awesome, they say. He's way beyond that. But he'll keep you from an eternal hell is what he will do. He died on a cross in your place and my place because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there are none righteous, not one. We don't get there by our righteousness that will get us there. It's his righteousness. And I want to compel you to repent of any sin in your life. And Jesus said he's faithful and just to forgive when we come to him and say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. All the way from when I was born to where I stand here today. God, forgive me for being a sinner. And God said, I'm faithful and just to forgive you, and he will. Then you ask him to come into your life. Say, Lord, be Lord of my life. Not just my Savior, but be my Lord. Guide me each day and save my soul. Wash me clean by that precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Holy Spirit, come and dwell within me and replace that dead spirit within me and put the Holy Spirit within me. And Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I believe I'm born again, as you told Nicodemus. And I receive you with joy. I know that you came to earth and died on the cross and you were buried. And I know that you're coming back again and you raised from the dead. And you are Lord. If you prayed that prayer, if you're listening today, God will save you. It isn't the prayer that saves you. It's if you mean it in your heart. And if you want to, you can come and speak with me. We're all going to die, 100% guaranteed. And you better be ready. Amen. And it's by the grace of God that you and I are all here together this morning in this building. That we're not dead. It's by his grace because he has got a purpose for each one of us in our life yet. But I tell you this, in this fallen world, you better make sure you're right with Jesus before you die. It can happen quickly. Let's all bow our heads before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for Jesus, for bringing him to earth and being born in this world through a woman. Lord, thank you that he became flesh and experienced everything in life that we have in order to relate and understand with us. And Lord, we thank you, for he brought with him joy. Joy, joy was on that cross. As ugly as it was, there was joy on that cross because what it meant for all eternity. And all those who come to receive, you said you would no wise cast out. So Lord, right now we remember it is all about you. Your joy will permeate the hearts and lives of everyone here today and listening. That it will change us in the days ahead as our world gets darker and darker, that we will maintain joy within our spirits, knowing that we have a future and a hope. And we thank you, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before you go, I think we're going to do some pictures.
No.
No pictures today. Yahoo! Yahoo!